This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Back here on Reins and Edge. I want to thank you for listening to the Free Talk Live Network. I'm Mark Edge.
Henry Reins.
And we were talking about presidential hopefuls here, Henry. I think we've got a little more to do.
Oh, well, your buddy.
Who's that?
Well, probably the only known candidate for president of the great United States of America that is a Free Talk Live listener.
That's right. That's so I've heard anyway. Vic, that's what he said.
Well, if he said it, it must be true.
Right. Well, Aria said it. I think he said it to her.
Well, there you go.
Which is interesting that such a conservative individual would end up talking to Aria at all.
He's got a... You know, The converted are the strongest believers.
Okay.
The most committed believers.
They are. Yes. Often so.
Yes. Well, who are we talking about besides a listener? Because any of your listeners could decide they want to be president, or many of them probably have.
Another listener, Aaron Day, is also running, too, on the Republican ticket.
Right now? This
yep.
cycle?
Yep.
Is he polling? Is it he or she?
He is polling probably very poorly, would be my guess. His whole shtick is he wants to see a bank run.
Oh, well, I'm sure that will cause the populace to back run well, right to him.
He does warn them to get their money out of the banks beforehand. So yeah, there you are.
All right. Well. Vivek Ramaswamy didn't attract all that much attention when he launched his presidential bid in February, and that's not that long ago.
Right, well,
about
it's
6 months
July
by my count.
Yeah. We've got about 6 months left.
No.
If you haven't won, if you don't have some W's in your column by early February, you are a has-been in this little game.
Well, you also need more time than 6 months to really... build your war chest up. Mm. But, well, he's actually jump-started his war chest himself. Anyway, he's a 37-year-old multimillionaire who made his fortune working at a hedge fund and then as a biotechnology entrepreneur. Be interesting to see how his hedge fund performed during COVID. And the Ramaswamy had never served in government and was new to politics because that's what we love. We love the outsiders. We love the people
especially
with no experience. He began making a name for himself. I think he has a podcast, though. He had a podcast.
Okay.
Didn't he? You don't know? You don't track this stuff?
No. Basically, at this point, I'm keeping an eye on the polls and, you know, seeing who the big names are, but that's about it.
All right. Anyway, he began making a name for himself as an anti-woke crusader, but it wasn't a name that most Republican voters had heard about. Well, that's getting to change. He's starting to become a darling of media, at least getting more of that. He blanketed the early state trail with conservative mainstream. He's got a reputation for talking to anybody.
Well, that you pretty much have to at this stage of the game, right?
If you don't have hundreds of millions of dollars and a couple billionaire sugar daddies to get your message out for you, then you probably should talk to everybody. But on Monday, Ramaswamy stood at third place nationally in the primary field, although still a healthy distance from Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who trails President Donald Trump. They have shown, a number of surveys have shown Ramaswamy surging, so he's doing something right.
Surging from what to what?
Well,
one to
the bottom line is he's going to be the number three at the next debate. when they're all up on stage.
Okay.
So I guess if Donald Trump is there, they would go to him first, and then Ron DeSantis, and then they work their way through the pecking order. But
if Ramaswamy can be beating out, you know, known names like Chris Christie and Mike Pence.
Yeah. Well, he already is in the polling.
Right.
So he had this to say, maybe it happened a tad earlier than we expected, talking about the surge in the polling. But at the time we started this race, I believed I was running to be the next president of the United States and lead a national revival. We're just getting warmed up. For months, voters have frequently brought up Ramaswamy to NBC News in interviews on the campaign trail as someone they wanted to learn more about and were particularly interested, even if it was not ultimately to be president. One supporter, I think Vivek was a really good shot. I think that Vivek has a really good shot. He is an underdog, but he is highly intelligent. Madison Kirchner.
So, that's what I hear, by the way.
Well, he's managed at least to get the third place. He's only 37 and only a multimillionaire.
At least the press is working for him on that. I got to say, I mean, stepping down for just one second here, what's one of the first phrases that you hear, that you think of after you hear the name Prince? Right? The artist formerly known as
Prince.
He's a musical genius. I mean, you know that's a PR company that put that out.
Hmm.
And if the thing that you think of when you think of Vivek Ramaswamy after this election is he's a highly intelligent individual, the run was worth it.
I think the Republican voters will never nominate a Hindu person of Indian descent.
Why?
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
I have an example of why he might be, why they might become disenchanted with him. Anyway, Madison Kirchner, a voter from Pittsburgh who is backing Trump, said at the conservative group Turning Point Actions Conference this month.
Is it Tulsi Gabbard, who's recently turned Republican, also a Hindu of some sort?
Yes, she is a Hindu.
Mm-hmm. But they like her.
They didn't. Well, that was the Democratic Party. They didn't nominate her either.
No, the Democrats couldn't nominate her. Yes, they couldn't get behind. I had a yard sign for her out in my yard, but for all that did.
We'll have a chance to talk about that. I like listening to him speak. I think that he has a very good shot and would be in a great position for Trump's VP. Well, that's not really what Ramaswamy's goal is.
Running for.
But Vivek, this is another potential supporter, was a pleasant surprise. Lynn Proudfoot, a conservative activist in Iowa, said after the Faith and Freedom Coalition spring kickoff earlier this year, he's young, he's ethnic, he's a Bible-believing Christian.
Oh.
Just everything that I think would appeal to a cross-section of our people, others. He's a sharp guy. I definitely want to find out more about him and follow him more closely. Could be describing Tim Scott there. That would fit the definition a little bit more, because I believe he is a Bible-believing Christian. At least he could convince you of that a lot more than the Krishna-following Hindu. Ramaswamy, who says he is qualified for the first presidential debate, has been quick to pledge to pardon Trump if elected. Well, that's... check off that box.
Well, Christians have shown that they'll vote for a non-Christian, faithfully. I mean, look at Trump. They supported him, and he's no real Christian.
Have they shown that they will vote for a person whose faith believes in a pantheon of gods?
Not currently, but America's changing.
Anyway, he's been quick to pardon Trump. He's released a list of potential picks for the Supreme Court. I wonder where that overlaps with some of the think tanks and special interest groups. He's outlined plans to shut down the FBI and Education Department. And if this is accurate in their phrasing...
I won't miss the FBI, I gotta say.
That doesn't mean... replacing. This means shut them down.
Well, I've read the Ninth and Tenth Amendments. It says things that aren't specifically mentioned in the Constitution are remanded to the states and the people respectively, and neither the Department of Education nor the FBI are mentioned. So I got to say that sounds constitutional to me.
I do see opportunity for you in Free Talk Live here. He has unveiled an eyebrow-raising fundraising strategy. I would be whoever the author of this. I haven't raised my eyebrows yet. that will give donors 10% of the total amount of cash they raise for him.
Nice.
So why can't Free Talk Live become a bundler for Ramaswamy? He is a listener.
What's the term?
A bundler.
A bundler.
Yeah, that was like the, I used to work for a bundler for Senator Dole when he was running for president. That was usually a, they got their titles when they could bundle $100,000 of, but I would think you could go much beyond that if we talk live with the vast audience that's out there. And
the good news is that the organization that owns Free Talk Live, the Shire Free Church, has been financially quite successful, and we don't need to look at the world that way.
You need to spread the wealth around. There's needy people out there, Mark.
It sounds like Ramaswamy is a very successful hedge fund operator, so he'll be all right.
I don't know. Because it says it's not all rainbows and sunshine for Ramaswamy at the moment. He raised $7.74 million last quarter. $5 million was from the candidate himself. He needs the help. Anyway, I've got audio, but we'll just find out a little bit more about him from his own words. But what would you like to add to this?
I can't say that I want to add anything. I don't know that much about him. The only thing I know is that he perhaps doesn't agree with me entirely on issues like immigration.
Mm. All right. What does he disagree with?
Well, I don't know his platform, but I do know what Republicans think about immigration. Oftentimes, they'll say things like, the immigration laws we have are fine, we just need to enforce them, and things like this. When, in fact, Republicans and Democrats, everybody in America, benefits right now from lower prices on produce, food, all kinds of things, because we have this kind of second-class citizenry that we call illegal aliens in this country. And I feel like these people need a path to a better life. And that's why I've advocated for something I call...
Well, we were just talking about the curriculum in Florida. We had evidently a better way of benefiting people.
Illegal aliens will benefit from the skills that they learned while being employed as illegal aliens.
Well, actually, growing up in Florida, I remember about every 5 to 10 years, there'd be a major bust of modern-day slavery for farm workers.
Yeah.
Where the contractors got them together, put them out, and now you don't have to run as far to find some civilization, but be in the center of the state, away from everything, and they would just, once they got here, they were staying here. But Terry Sullivan, the campaign manager for Senator Marco Rubio's 2016 presidential bid, who knows a thing or two about failed presidential campaigns, said that Ramaswamy follows a long line of long shots who catch lightning in a bottle in a presidential race with strong messaging and great personalities, a.k.a. Herman Cain and the 2016 primary.
Well, the 2016 primary, this just kept happening over and over again. And to some extent, Trump just caught it at the right time. I remember Trump event in New Hampshire where it was just no one there. Very early on, people weren't taking the Donald Trump campaign seriously. And then by the end of it, they certainly were.
Yes, they were. And also, whenever you get attention from the media and they start digging into your past, the bloom goes off the rose a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
He started to receive some more critical coverage. Semaphore, which is, I don't even read Semaphore, but recently reported that the investment firm he founded to push back on ESG, environmental, social, and government investing policy, widely ridiculed by conservatives, now dialing back its anti-woke rhetoric in hopes of courting more investors. So evidently, you can't let your rhetoric get in the way of making the money on the woke causes. ABC News highlighted Ramaswamy's staunch condemnation of Trump's actions related to the January 6th, 2021 attack on the Capitol, But he's offered a pardon, Trump. So there you go.
There you go.
So
that'll solve that problem.
You want to hear a little bit of him?
Sure.
Okay.
You got an audio clip? I love that you do these audio clips like a real radio host. It's so awesome.
Yeah, thanks. I take that just as the way it was delivered.
You never do that.
This is actually, he was talking to Tucker Carlson on this next clip, but I think this is post-Tucker Carlson's departure from Fox News, which talking to Tucker Carlson post-departing Fox News is like yelling across the street at your neighbor for all the other neighbors to hear. But let's give Ramaswamy a little bit of chance here. It's just a short clip.
Isn't Tucker getting huge numbers post Fox News?
He had a couple good starting numbers on Twitter, but it's been declining steadily ever since.
Okay, well, he's probably going to find his equilibrium wherever that is.
Many things about Twitter have declined swiftly.
My imagination, or are people who weren't raised in traditional religious households, who haven't spent a lot of time thinking about theology, all of a sudden talking about God a lot. Do you notice that?
I do notice that, actually, and I think this is a good sign.
I've got lots of gods to talk about.
This sounded very much like one of those the late night shows where, you know, the star comes on, gives a little index card of things that the host is supposed to ask them about. So I hear you don't like matching socks. You know, like that kind of thing. It really felt like that.
I remember when Tucker Carlson was a regular guest, weekly guest, on the Bubba the Love Sponge radio show here in Tampa Bay and on a couple other markets around the country. And he said some...
Tuck and Clem.
Yeah, Tucker Carlson. he had some controversial thoughts then. Well, let's hear what else is here.
Because there's an old expression, right? If there's a hole the size of God in your heart and God does not fill it, something else will instead. That's what's happened in the last decade in our country. Something else, some secular religion has filled that void. But it hasn't really satisfied our moral hunger. Right? And so that's kind of, that effect is fading, and I think people are...
So, what has filled that void? Could it be ethics? No, that probably isn't what he's talking about. Is it wokeism? Is that the religion that's filling this hole in our hearts, Mark?
Well, I think that it would differ for different people, but I would say that for some people, it is. For others, you know, it's probably model trains or something. There you go.
Worshipping Lionel.
You know, you don't have to. I mean, just whatever you're passionate about, I think, to some extent, is what he's talking about.
I think he's meaning something else. I think it's a fill-in-the-blank for his potential listeners, where they'll come up with whatever it is that they don't want in people's hearts, and they'll say, oh, he's like me. He thinks just like me.
Hungry to turn back to the real thing. The conversation's coming up, but they say it with a kind of prudishness.
Yes.
Right? Right? God is a four-letter word. It's sort of a thing you have to tiptoe around.
Wait. I got to take him up right on this.
Right now, God is a three-letter word. The nuclear family makes some people uncomfortable when I say it, but actually this is the best-known form of governance to mankind.
All right. So somewhere in all that, he hit the nuclear family buzzwords.
Yep.
And it's the best form of governance to mankind. Nuclear family, I will give you, is probably the best way to organize a nuclear family. I don't know if it's really how you govern.
Well, I think that the idea is that there was governance in the form of family, and if a family functions well, governance isn't particularly necessary after that. That, you know, you're doing the right things, and you know, a good man needs no government, right?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
I think good men do bad things, and sometimes you gotta get them back in line.
Well, I think the notion is that good men don't do bad things and out there. I would say, in fact, that...
One man's good may be another five men's bad.
Well, that's where you have the sort of problem of democracy, right? Where some guys are like, well, you know, we have opinions about how you're operating. That's why I like the non-aggression principle, which is what libertarians organize themselves by, is that the first thing is that you don't aggress against other people. You honor your word. You do what you say you're going to do by the time you say you're going to do it. And you don't cause other people harm that haven't caused you harm. And if you do, you make up for it. And that these sort of principles, if we operate by them, allow people to live together. I'm not saying that everybody's going to get along, but that allows everybody to live together. It's when everybody wants to tell everybody else how they're going to live. That's when the problems occur. Whether it's the Ohio people getting in your bedroom like from last week, or it's somebody throwing you in jail for not using the proper pronouns.
All right. Well, let's see what else he has to say here in their last few seconds before we have to take leave of him.
And so if we start talking more about, hey, that's what we're running to. That's actually what we stand for. Yes, we are one nation. I'm a citizen of this nation, not some nebulous global citizen somewhere else. That it is one nation under God. Yes, it is a nation that is stronger when we ground ourselves in the unit of the family. Then I notice something happens, especially for younger people across the country, Tucker, is they're more open to that message than they thought, but they need someone to serve it up to them. And I think I'm the first non-politician, but I'm also a younger person in this race. I don't have a ton of experience running governments before. But I think in reaching younger people, that's something I feel called to do in this race. And it's why we're traveling college campuses across this country.
So what experience,
I am optimistic about what I see.
What experience did Barack Obama have when he walked into the White House?
I mean, besides the state legislature and the Senate and the...
I mean, that's not...
That's more than he has.
An executive branch. Sure it is. I mean, anybody can... I think that the president has turned from, sadly, an administrative job, which is what it's supposed to be, to a much more of a rhetorical job. Now, legislator is a rhetorical job. You're supposed to give your opinion and then vote on legislation, these kind of things. But presidents turned into that. If I'm sworn into the office, I promise I will close Guantanamo, build a wall, and, you know, whatever.
We need a Stan Lee, not a Jack Kirby running this country.
Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. President Biden in Maine Friday laying out his efforts to bring back American manufacturing and create jobs. While speaking from a textile factory in Auburn, Maine, Biden said he wants the U.S. to lead the world in manufacturing again and export American products.
We used to be rated to have the number one best infrastructure in the world. Now we're number 13. China used to be beyond 13 and now they're number two or three. What's going on here?
The president issued an executive order aimed at boosting domestic manufacturing of new inventions. The number of alcohol-related deaths among women are surging in the U.S. That's according to a new study published Friday in JAMA Network Open. The death rate for women jumped almost 15% each year from 2018 to 2020. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Brains and Edge coming back at you again, just like a boomerang, Mark. I'm Henry Raines.
I'm Mark Edge. I guess I've thrown things like, do you remember like the three-pronged boomerang that they Nerf made at one point?
Yeah.
That thing came back, but I haven't had a lot of success with making boomerangs come back.
Well, you needed some aboriginal instruction probably with all of that. You need to get back to old-time values, old-time skills. You know, and you're not going to find that in a big city. You're not going to find barely anybody that uses a boomerang of either two-prong or three-prong to hunt for their food.
Probably not. It sounds like a terrible way to get your food. Probably get you arrested.
Maybe in some small town somewhere. That may be what they do in a small town. That may be what they try in a small town. Why does that sound familiar? Well, Jason Aldean. We talked about it. I thought we had beat him to death last year. Or rather, excuse me. Pardon me. I didn't mean that. If I offended anybody, especially Mr. or Mrs. Aldean, it was not my intent. It was people are so sensitive these days. And you know how that is, Jason, because you tell us, not just now, but over and over again in the past, over the last 10 years, whenever he did anything that most people would know would be offensive to big groups of people, and said he didn't have any idea. He's almost from that Ron DeSantis school. I wasn't there. I didn't have anything to do with that stuff. But those other people did. It must have been them scholars over there. They didn't explain it to me. I wasn't there. I wasn't part of it. They didn't explain to me why this was offensive. Anyway. Well, Jason Aldean is getting, as you may remember, the blowback from Try That in a Small Town. We talked about that. We talked about the fact that the video was released about a month and a half after the song was released. And actually, I can do better than that for the audience. I can just let them hear the opening thing. What I want to do in this, I want you to listen to the hierarchy of the things that just try it in a small town. Now, the reason I say that is I didn't notice this last week when we were talking, but there is, I'll give you a hint. It starts, I think, with the sucker punch. There's the carjacking. There's the liquor store break-in.
Yep.
But then listen to the things that come after that, and I'll tell you why that was something that I thought you should pay attention to.
Somebody on the sidewalk, carjacking old lady at a red light. Who's gonna be owner of the liquor store? You think it's cool at the food?
Okay, that was the three things, if you couldn't make it out. Sucker punch somebody on the sidewalk,
yep.
The carjacking the old lady, the liquor store robbery. And you also have video there. We have a few things that we've been found out about the video. Well, we didn't find it out. The entire world, anybody that took an interest in this and a negative interest, has been perusing both the source material and Jason Aldean's. But now I'll ask you after I play this little bit. You tell me the next two things after I've played them, what they are.
So
it's probably hard to
so stomp on a flag and
burn it. What the video shows.
Cuss out a cop and spit in his face.
Right. Okay. So let's break this down a little bit.
So it's taken aside with the Blue Lives Matter flag.
Right. When you want a person to become more and more radicalized, you don't start out there. You start out at that moment of agreement.
Sure.
Showing that you have something in common. Now, who wouldn't... Well, if you might be too scared to do it, but who wouldn't agree that if you see somebody about to be sucker punched on the sidewalk, you should call out, you could try and stop, you could
do
different things.
Can,
that shouldn't be allowed to stand. I don't know that would be a thing that you wouldn't say in a big city, too. Hey, don't! Watch out! Yeah. And then the next thing
is... There are some historical examples, recent and past, of people just sort of ignoring... bad things happening, especially in big cities.
Far as the thing itself, big town, small town, if you just showed it to the person, they say, oh, that's bad.
Yep.
Somebody should do something. I'm not going to do anything, but somebody should do something. And then the next thing, the carjacking the old lady. Well, yeah, that's it might have a gun. I'm not jumping in that car. Somebody should do something, though.
Right.
And then the liquor store holdup. Well, I'm not, the liquor store owner probably has a gun anyway. There's guns involved. I'm not jumping in the store.
Well, there's plenty of places in America where and basically nobody but a police officer is allowed to own a gun. So those are the places where it seems like crime is the highest. I would say that that you're right, that a liquor store owner with a gun is less likely to get robbed over time.
Let's follow the progression here, though.
Yep.
But the next thing is, both of those things, let me make it say it this way. Both of those things rise to the level of a felony.
Mm-hmm.
The carjacking, armed robbery of the liquor store, the assault with a sucker punch with deadly, somebody you say with deadly force, perhaps.
I bet you spitting in a cop's face is a felony, too.
Well, let me get there. But those are all felonies done to other people.
Yep.
The spitting in the face of the cop. Do you really need to step in there? The cop can't handle that situation himself, being spit in the face?
I don't think you need to jump into that situation.
But
no.
You're pulling the vigilante a card out of this now. And then the burning of the flag. That's protected free speech.
Mm.
Why does somebody need to step up and do something on that? That sounds like vigilanteism, too. And then you can't say, oh, well, I'm not talking vigilanteism.
I guess what I got out of it when I heard him was saying that these are things that would not be put up with in a small town.
Who wouldn't put up with them?
Well,
townspeople?
The denizens of a small town would be...
Yeah, what would they do?
I think the
Stop
suggestion...
Stop you with violence?
There are plenty of people who wear T-shirts that suggest that they would use violence upon you for stomping on a flag. Absolutely. And...
That would be wrong.
I would consider that absolutely wrong. Yeah.
That would be a felony committed against somebody that was doing protected free speech.
If you own the flag, right, you haven't stolen somebody else's flag and stomped upon it, then, you know, as far as I'm concerned...
The greater point that I'm trying to make here is he says he isn't promoting vigilanteism. He isn't promoting violence, except he's saying do something about these horrible things that he starts with, and he works the list down to things that you really shouldn't do anything about. You know, you don't need to step in between the cop and the protester when there's a bunch of other cops around. You don't need to do any forceful act against somebody burning the flag because it's protected free speech. So you can't say that like he says so many of these things that, oh, I didn't know.
That was the feeling.
I didn't write this song. Someone, a songwriter, wrote it.
That's. I have a similar feeling about what he's trying to get across.
That's beyond the fact that the setting, the courthouse, was where the lynching occurred in, I think, 1927 or 1926, where the race riot of Columbia happened nearby, where the black community was terrorized by people shooting randomly through their houses and law enforcement going in there, ripping people out of their houses. But he said, I didn't know anything about the courthouse. I didn't know anything. I didn't think, I'm not saying any visually anything. We're establishing a pattern here, as we would in a courthouse. But... Which is what we were talking
about. So if those are the only two things, you kind of have to let him go because, you know, this isn't a pattern. Or it hasn't yet reached a pattern.
Well, it is a pattern. But one other thing that goes with that is the images that are in the video are to make you think that these look like Black Lives Matter protests.
Yep.
They're not even from in this country in most of these cases. The release of music video praising, his newest music video featured multiple clips of protests outside of the U.S., including Canada and Ukraine, TikTok sleuths, which is a thing now, Mark. There's people on TikTok that have the time and effort to go and do the searches on.
There have always been people on the Internet that have the time and the effort.
Well, now it's TikTok sleuths because that's who has... the audience. They, in a series of TikToks posted Thursday, someone named Stark, which multiple outlets have uncovered clips that featured the video originated in Canada. That was the 2010 G20 protest. The person began looking at the protest footage on a hunch. Anyway, we can go on this. And the point being that... It's like, I didn't have anything to do with production. That was an outside production. They bought stock imaging from all this. But
it gets less and less believable over time. How, you know, I think that this would be a point in my career where I would stop and ask myself, how do I want to handle this in the future? Because he looks like two things. He looks like, A, he doesn't have control of his operation, or B, he's hiding behind excuses for what he's trying to do.
Well, he made his debut single, 2006, Hicktown. And with these kind of non-provocative lyrics, it says... You can see the neighbor's butt crack, nailing on his shingles, and his woman smoking Pall Malls watching Laura Ingalls. That's his style. But he went on to say in an interview when he was asked about country music female singers, I really can't tell them apart. And then, of course, I didn't really mean to offend anybody. And then in 2015, when he dressed up as Lil Wayne in blackface, he was, after he was got called out on it, oh, I understand that this offends somebody, but there was no racist intent in me when I was doing this. And it goes on.
What did Lil Wayne say?
Pardon me?
What did Lil Wayne say?
I don't have a quote from Lil Wayne.
Because he is, from everything I've heard, Lil Wayne is, Lil Wayne takes these things in stride. You know, blackface is a very difficult thing to defend, especially as recently as 2015. It seems culturally tone deaf.
He said, this is Aldean, me doing that had zero malicious intents. I get that race is a touchy subject, but not everybody in that way. Media tends to make a big deal out of things. If it was, if that was disrespectful to anyone, I by all means apologize. That was never my intention. Wasn't his intention.
Well, there you go. You get your apology now, Henry.
You know, it's just that he has a history. He was at Disney World, and he put up on his social media, so great to see the kids' faces, and it was in the middle of COVID, you know, and he had the face mask off.
But we did that every night on Free Talk Live. We thank people for being
masses. The point was, when he got called on it, he said, oh, come on, we just had him down for that picture. We put him right back up like everybody else. Well, that's not the impression you're leaving with somebody. When his wife called out the transgender people, like, I'm glad my mom didn't make me change my gender identity when I went through my tomboy phase. Oh. Yeah.
I think, you know, there's a lot of defense of tomboys at this time. And this is one of those areas where there's some missing going on. A, on the right, most parents are not allowing their young kids who are, you know, going through their phase or whatever to start transitioning. They're not doing that. Now, what you need to understand is there's there are people who are born sexually ambiguous. And I use sex in the sense that of what they were born, what genitalia they were born. And this is really important, people. It's a lot easier to make a vagina and vulva than it is to make a penis. And so the doctors, when they start messing around there, just go ahead and say, female. And those people are, you know, I mean.
Who are they saying that to?
Well, they're telling, I mean, you don't think hospitals put a gender on birth certificates?
Right.
Okay. They're saying it to the parents. They're saying, congratulations, you have a little girl. And
you've got a child with a uterus.
Right. Well,
you got a child with a penis.
They don't know whether or not they have a uterus. My son was not checked for a uterus, I can assure you of that. He wasn't born in a hospital either.
Well, they saw the penis.
Yes, we did. We decided what gender would be put on the birth certificate. It was 14 days later after he was born.
Hmm.
But
that sounds rather unique.
Well, you get to choose how your kid's born, and I know that most people choose a hospital, and hospitals kind of have their way of doing things. So what I'm saying is that this small percentage of people is born sexually ambiguous, and they may very well need to transition. And they may very well need drugs to do that. Just because one doctor one time said, you're female, maybe took a scalpel to your sex organs at less than a year old, and, you know, let's make something better here. This is a subject that families should be making a decision on. And Republicans should be defending the nuclear family and the decisions that it makes in this particular area. Look, I get it. Some families make terrible decisions. They make awful decisions. Leave them to it. Because that way we get to make our own decisions about our family. And then there's the other side of this, where people are like, well, it's a lot better if somebody starts transitioning at 9. because then they'll be able to pick, you know, the gender that they want, and they'll grow up that way. And, you know, that may very well be true, but that is more than most Americans can stomach.
Well, we have a different way of doing things in Florida. In the latest legislature, we now have a law that, suppose you and your mother of your child have a child that isn't quite sure of their gender identity, and yeah, you go to a professional and they say, well, you don't have to really do anything now. I mean, the child, for example, let's say the child just said, I don't want to be called he or she, just use my name. I know this is an actual case.
Yep.
And the parents are like, well, we'll take our time and let this evolve and see if we have to do anything. According to Florida law now, if you feel a child is in danger of getting gender transition therapy, not just therapy, but care. Your therapy is within the subset of care.
Uh-huh.
If you think the child is at risk, in other words, in your mind, if they get therapy, they're going to go on to something more.
So am I a concerned neighbor or am I the parent at this point?
Well, you can, as a neighbor, raise the issue.
Okay.
You know, you go to Department of Children and Families or something.
Uh-huh.
I'm not quite sure the details of the way you do that, but
when I see kids walking along the side of the road, I should immediately call the police because those kids are clearly being abused because they have to walk, and they're probably in danger of being abducted.
No, that has nothing to do with what we're saying. They're talking about...
Saying it sounds a lot like busybodies getting involved in people's...
Well, it's people that very
kids.
Care about the grooming of the gender cult. Culture and the cult of genderism that is being rampant in this United States of America.
And they're somehow different than the people that will let their kids walk, that call the cops on kids walking home from school.
Let's just say, but I think it would be a given that probably very few people at this point in the history of the state of Florida would want to interfere in another life and call on somebody. Well, they're letting their kid dress a little iffy, sketchy there. You know, she needs to be in a dress, or he needs to be in some other. He needs a different haircut, or they don't refer to it as the child as a he or a she. They just, you know, everything I just said. Well, that's a little bit of a stretch too. But what about a non-custodial parent? Would a non-custodial parent on that level that I'm talking about, where you're just trying to work with the child as the child figures this out for themselves, say like a middle school age, preteen and early teen, and you want to raise that issue, then you might have people that would abuse that.
You're darn right they would. People who are the non-custodial parent will take far less than a kid that might be somewhat ambiguous about their thoughts on their own gender, they will absolutely use that. Sure. Agreed.
And I have a scoop for us.
A scoop?
I have Jason Aldean's next song. At least a preview of it.
Okay.
Yes. This is courtesy of Adeem the artist. Now, we'll let him speak for himself there on this.
Hey, y'all. It's me, Adeem the artist. I'm going to level with you here. I don't agree with the politics of Jason Aldean in any way, but I got a call from the record execs this morning, and they said that he's trending really well, and if we want to see some higher impressions and some retweets, stuff like that, we really ought to do a cover of a Jason Aldean song. And I thought, well, impressions is what I care about most, so let's do this. You know what I mean? So please share away. This is Jason Aldean's new hit. It's called Sundown Town.
Maybe I was confused.
We got no protests, civil unrest. Never took a goddamn COVID test. And we can all read, but we don't do it. Driving trucks valued higher than a new Corvette. Yeah, we all wear boots, and we love to shoot. And we root for the cops to stop people like you. This is a sundown town. Oh, baby, it's a sundown town. Better never let the sun go down on you, dear brother, or the guns come out. That's true, that I am ignorant.
I think it's got hit written all over it.
I don't know what I've just experienced.
Well, if you would like to experience yourself, I'm sure Adeem the artist wouldn't mind us telling you. You can go to YouTube and you can find him there.
Adeem?
Adeem. He's a good old boy.
Okay.
I think he seems to be a good old boy. We'll follow with Dean the artist. I guess he's doing a cover, but I heard him when I recorded this, and he said it's the next song. So I was easily mistaken by all of that. Anyway, that's hopefully this will. Well, actually, there was something else I wanted to say about Jason Aldean, but it wasn't about so much what we were talking about. Is that my YouTube is flooded with. There's this genre of YouTube, reaction videos, and
yes.
It's flooded with black people that do reviews, and part of the review is that you want to give it fresh, so they don't research it.
Yeah.
So they just look at the video as a face value, like we have and some of the other people have, and you go, oh, well, that's not racist. They don't have all the other information, so there is a flooding of these review, because there isn't a better way to get more views on YouTube as a review genre than to be a black person saying they think white music is great.
Right. I would say that's true,
yes.
That there's something like that. And you also have to consider that a large percentage are recent immigrants comparative to, say, African Americans. So you'll find Nigerian, the children of Nigerians, things like that.
In the YouTube review genre?
Well, what I'm saying is giving their opinion on topics about being black in America. Being black in America has changed, I guess, is what I would say. And that there's whole groups of people that are just different than what it used to be like when I was a kid.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.